Hey, everybody. How's it going? My name is Errol Ebanks, and welcome to Every Moment with Errol E. This is episode 9, and today we have a very special and talented guest, and her name is Jordan Taylor. Very charming, from Philadelphia, voice of an angel. So we're going to dive in a lot about her goals, her singing career, and just so much more. So let's dive in. And before we introduce Jordan, let's kick off the introduction.
You're listening to Every Moment with Errol Lee. We believe that every moment deserves a better story. And on this podcast, we tell those stories. Here's your host, Errol Lee.
All right. We are live. So good afternoon, Jordan. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good. Chilling at home. Looks like it's about to rain here, but yeah. Not too bad. How about you?
It was actually probably, I'd say, maybe 15 minutes before we got on here. It was storming pretty bad here, but it's kind of clear now. The only thing you're going to hear probably in the background is my cats rustling around.
Right. Awesome. Hopefully your cat can make a guest appearance. That
maybe.
Pretty cool. So, well, tell me about your day. How was your day? How was everything going on today?
Sort of uneventful today. The pandemic has prevented people, especially in the performance arena, kind of, we haven't been working since like early March. The governor sort of opened everything up into phase one and phase two, and then kind of like completely went backwards. And now we're barely even in phase one right now. So nothing's really open. Restaurants are open for takeout and stuff like that. Some are open at half capacity for dine-in. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what's open. Nothing else is open. Bourbon Street completely closed down. No bars, anything. So as far as people in the music industry, it's been really hard because a lot of the people that do what I do perform on Bourbon Street or perform on Frenchman Street, and they rely on that for their income, and everything's kind of just been shut down. So right now it's kind of uneventful, but I'm hopeful, fingers crossed, that things kind of get better.
Yes, hopefully, hopefully. Yeah, I pray they get better too, because it's just been a whirlwind. 2020 has just been a lot. Not only with COVID, the passing of Chadwick Boseman to Kobe, just like we just need some sunshine.
I know. It's like this year.
Yeah, just shot after shot, which is terrible. But hopefully, there will be some sunshine. Hopefully, we can close out 2020 with some good news, not bad news. But to go on more of a positive note, before the music. So what was that like growing up in Philadelphia? Are you originally from Philly?
Yes, I'm originally from Philadelphia. I was born and raised there. I had a really good upbringing. My parents weren't really like wealthy or well off by any means, but they did what they had to do so that me and my brother could have what we needed and a little bit extra.
Right. My
mother actually was a surrogate mother when I was growing up. So she actually like had babies for people that couldn't, and she used that as a source of like income to be able to like make ends meet and stuff like that. And maybe give us, you know, me and my brother some extra things that she wasn't able to do when she was younger. She took us on a couple of vacations, stuff like that. Braces. We got braces.
Right.
So, and my dad worked hard all his life. He was pretty much a lumber manager in like home improvement stores pretty much my whole life. He's retired now.
Right.
So he's a little bored, but he went and got himself a part-time job. But other than that, they worked really hard.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's good. You know, like, you know, parents working hard just to provide for their children. That's like the best thing, you know, to see that, you know, parents always want to make sure to give the best life to their children.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed like the first time when I met you was a long time ago. I want to say maybe 10, 11, maybe 10 years.
I have no idea.
It was a long time. Yes. It was a while, but I just remember just like, how was it? I think it was Heather, I want to say, introduced.
She was my roommate at college.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember. And I remember it's like, you know, like, hey, you want to take a photo? And it was the photo studio. And I believe your dad brought you, and he was just cool and stuff like that. And, you know, I want to bring up a clip real quick right here.
I'm scared now.
So here's a clip right here. Let me see if I could bring it up right here. And it is of your dad singing right here. So I would love to just know about this moment. Let me play it real quick. So what was that moment like right there for you?
I mean, honestly, that's when me and my dad are in the car, that's essentially how I grew up.
Right.
Every time we were in the car, we were always singing. He was always singing. Most of the time, most of his stations, you can't touch in the car. He's got his presets and you're not allowed to touch them. But I mean, he listens to like older music. He's a big fan of classic rock. And like, we sing together in the car, and it's been like that for as long as I can remember.
Nice. That's good. And, you know, hey, we're getting comments now, which is cool. Oh. So this is cool. So Jill said that she loves it. Awesome. So if anyone has any comments for Jordan, you could throw them in the chat too as well. But that's really awesome. How did that whole music come to be? Like, did you like listen to music with your dad, your mom? Like, what was your favorite music kind of growing up as a kid?
Well, I'd say that early on, I was just exposed to the music that my mom and dad would listen to, either in the car or like on the stereo at home. My dad always a lot of the classic rock, a lot of Motown. My mom was really into, the first CD that I actually remember seeing in person was my mom's CD, was Mariah Carey's Music Box.
Ooh.
And yeah, it was a good one. And so I think that a lot of that kind of influenced me really early on, because I'd hear it and for me it just clicked and made sense. I mean, I'd have to ask my parents if, you know, I was actually really good back then when I was singing around 5 years old. I'm not really sure. But I always just was drawn to it. So I think a little bit later on was when I kind of developed my own musical personality and got into different things. But I mean my mom had Barbara Streisand that I would listen to. It was good stuff.
Nice. That's good. So Philly, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How did that all come about?
Well, there were actually a couple of factors that went into that. But I mean, mostly I was at the point when I was still living in Philadelphia where it's not that I was in a bad place or I was doing bad as far as like career wise. I had gone to cosmetology school and graduated. So I was working in salon.
Right.
And I kind of just got to the point where I thought to myself, I'm kind of not progressing. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing bad in life, but I'm not really progressing in a way that I'm satisfied with. I kind of just felt like I was floating around, stagnating. And I was kind of like, I kind of feel like I need to be somewhere else. Right. And so I had some friends that lived here and I had always wanted to come visit. And I came to visit and I ended up loving it and just decided that I was going to come.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's cool. So when you finally got to Louisiana, kind of what was that first experience like? Like, was it your first time there? Was it you visited before? Now you're like, okay, let me see where this goes.
Well, I visited once before I actually moved. I was here for about a week, ended up loving it. So when I actually got down here, I will say it's a little bit of a culture shock, just because, I mean, the Southern and Northern mentality are two completely different things. The people down here are very, very friendly. I mean, you know, you'll walk down the street and they'll say hi to you, how are you? And you don't really get that in Philly. Like, I love Philly. It's my home. But, you know, you don't really do that when you walk down the streets of Philadelphia. So it's definitely a lot different, but it's something you get used to. It just takes a little while.
Right. So what drew you to the music industry? So listening to the music from your parents, but what really drew you to the music industry?
Well, I think that I always kind of knew that I had some sort of, I mean, maybe when I was really young, I didn't know if it was actually a talent. But when I started getting older, I mean, singing essentially runs in my family. My dad's mother was a singer. My dad sings. My brother's an opera singer. So it's just kind of a thing that happens in my family. So I kind of always knew that I should do something with it. So when I got to be around, I'd say, high school years, maybe 14, 15, I kind of started developing my own taste in music and what I liked. And I kind of geared toward like the R&B pop area. That's just my kind of little niche that I like to nuzzle into. It sounds really crazy when people say that, you know, famous people or musicians have inspired them. Mm-hmm. But personally, that really happened to me because when I was in high school, Destiny's Child had actually split up as a group,
right.
which I love them as a group. And Beyoncé kind of came out with her first album as a solo artist. And I remember that I got the album and I was listening to the first album by myself in like our computer room at home. And I was like, man, this is great. And I started to like sing along with it. And up to that point, I didn't exactly have the confidence to do a lot of the things that I do now, just because I knew I could sing, but like, could I actually like sing? You know what I mean? Could I really do something with this? And I just started to sing along with Beyonce and I just kind of discovered like, hey, like I can do some of the stuff that she can do. And so I think that her first album really actually helped me come out of my shell as a singer, because it kind of helped me gain the confidence, because I was kind of like, well, if she can do it and I can do it, then like I can be there.
That's true.
You know, so it just kind of helped me push myself along and nudge me in the right direction as far as musically. So, and I had gone to a performing arts high school. My brother went to the same school that I did in Philadelphia, Kappa Creative and Performing Arts High School. So there was a lot that kind of went into my development as a singer.
Right.
You know, in some aspects, I was classically trained in classical music. My brother's the opera singer. I leave that to him. But but I think that it all just contributed to the place that I'm in now, because if those things hadn't happened, I wouldn't know if I would have had the confidence to even audition to be in a band that I'm such as the one that I'm in now. It just kind of everything kind of nudged me in the right direction. So I kind of knew fairly early on that I should be somewhere in the music industry.
Right. Now, being in the music industry, you have to be kind of creative. So what is that creative process like for you?
For me, I think that it all has to do with more of my intuition and what I'm drawn to. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody out there has different ears. They had like different music for different reasons, you know? Right. I mean, so for me, I'm really drawn to melodic things. I'm drawn to a crap ton of harmonies. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just really about really feeling it out and listening to it and just using my intuition. Like this is something that I want to sing.
Right. Nice. So what is an average day like for you, probably post-COVID era? Mm-hmm. Yeah. what is that average day like?
Well, I'd say that you probably want to hear about like performance days and such things like that. But performance days, there's a lot that goes into it. You know, obviously you have to wake up and do things that every person has to do, you know, hygiene, you know, feed your cats.
Yep.
But, so, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. There's, first thing I want to do is text the other, lead singer of my band, Dave, who's a great guy. We really try to get in tune with what we wear and try to match what we wear as closely as possible. Everything flashy. So it's the wardrobe. It's the getting the hair and the makeup together and being glamorous to be on stage. And then in some instances in which we have gigs that are further away, sometimes you're driving a couple of hours away, 2-3 hours away. Right. And then, you know, when you finally get there, it's about unloading all the equipment from the truck and setting everything up and doing the sound check and, you know, finally getting to do the gig, which is always amazing and always a fun time. And then once that's over, most of the time there's some fans in the audience that kind of want pictures or they want to speak to you or ask you questions. And then after all that, you have to pretty much load everything up in the truck and then got to get in the car and then you got to drive home. And so there's a lot that goes into it. It's a very lengthy process, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Nice. And I don't think a lot of people maybe factor that in. They might think you just walk on stage. Leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not like that. It's mm-hmm. so much more. Everyone has to help out. Especially if you are starting out in the beginning, everyone mm-hmm. has to help out. Everyone has to play a part. Yeah. No one is just chilling, waiting mm-hmm. to go on stage. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always like intermingling of different things. If you're the singer, you're still setting up. If you're mm-hmm. the drummer, you're still maybe driving to the venue. Mm-hmm. Like there's more things that need to, or there's a lot of things that go on instead of just the one role.
Exactly. Well. Mm-hmm.
So with that, do you write your own music?
I have not. For me personally, I attempted a long time ago, and for some reason, I'm a very creative person.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, I can write an essay all day. You know, English in high school, aced it. But for some reason, when it comes to getting lyrics together and putting my emotions into it, I have a little bit of a block.
Right.
So for me, I think that when it comes down to it, if I do get to the point where I'm creating my own lyrics, I need to be in an environment in which I can learn from someone, if that makes any sense. Somebody that has been doing this for a long time and writing songs and knows what they're doing. I feel like if I was put in that kind of situation, that I could learn from it and maybe pull some things out of myself that I necessarily couldn't before.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. Learning from someone. So who would you want to learn from?
Oh, man. I don't know. You know, I mean, as far as artists that, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that right now, I mean, not just as an artist, but as a writer, Ed Sheeran is doing incredibly well. He writes songs for everyone.
Right.
And he writes songs that people want to hear. So I think that maybe I'd want to get into a studio and learn from him at some point, because that would be awesome.
Okay. All right. Ed Sheeran. I love his music. Mm-hmm. I love his music. That would be pretty cool to just see that process and
how his brain works.
Yep. See how his brain works and that whole creative process and how we can write an album from start to finish and
right.
it still tells a story, which
right.
I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
So do you collaborate with others? Now, I know you have your band, but do you collaborate with other bands outside of your own?
We have here and there. It's not really been to the extent that it necessarily maybe should be. It's very competitive in the New Orleans area as far as not so much being in places like Bourbon Street or Frenchman Street, because they're always looking for more bands to perform.
Right.
But when you get into a place where you're doing like weddings and corporate events and things of a larger nature, I mean, my band performs at the Sugar Bowl every year. So when you do things that are a little bit on a larger scale, it gets a bit more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And in that instance, sometimes other bands aren't really open to a collaboration, if that makes any sense.
Right.
We have performed at events where they've had multiple bands and saw some of the local bands and everybody kind of like gets on. But yeah, I mean, as far as collaboration, I mean, there should be more of it going on than there is. But
true.
Maybe one day.
Yeah. I mean, in the music industry, it's hard. Like everyone wants
mm-hmm.
to be there. So it's very hard to probably find a good group of people to say, hey, mm-hmm. we want to work together. We want to get everyone mm-hmm. together. It is very hard. It is very hard, which is understandable. So do you interact with your fans at all? Like,
I
know they're at the venue mm-hmm. and they might want to come up on stage. Mm-hmm. I did peek at your Instagram. The one lady came up stage and started dancing, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But how else do you interact with your fans?
Well, I mean, we do have some fans that are very, very loyal, and they're diehard Karma fans. That's the name of my band, Karma. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're at almost every gig that, or every public gig that we play. So, shout out to Kitty and Juan. They're almost at every single public gig. But I mean, we interact with them. We'll give them shout outs on stage. Sometimes we'll bring Kitty up and she'll dance on stage with us. Kitty's taught me a lot of dances, by the way, that I necessarily wouldn't have known.
Okay.
But, most of the time, I mean, we even interact on social media with them. We'll have them on our social media, and when one of them makes a comment, we always make sure that we comment back, because these people are important. These people support us on a regular basis. So, I mean, you have to give them your time. You know what I mean? Right. It's just what you have to do. On the other end of things, there are some times where people get a little crazy. They've been drinking a little too much. And sometimes you kind of have to, not in a mean way, but kind of have to like usher them on their way.
Right.
Very, very nicely. But it happens. I mean, it comes with the territory.
True. So where did the name Karma come from? That's actually a pretty interesting name.
Actually, the band was called Karma before I joined it. I never really got that much of an origin story from my boss, hey Lupe. but they were actually a band for 8 or so years before I came along.
Right.
I've been part of the band since May 2018, so it's been a little over 2 years. But the guys in the band have all been together for a really long time, and I was really lucky the way that they kind of found me. And I mean, that's all I can really say. They're a really talented group of guys, and I'm very, very lucky that I'm part of the band.
Right. So how did they find you?
Actually, the other lead singer of the band, Dave, he kind of scrolls through social media, mostly Instagram, to look at like kind of what other bands are doing in the area and stuff like that. And when I moved down here, I had actually filled in for another band, maybe a handful of times, I'd say 5 or 6 times, because their lead singer couldn't make it. So I had been posting things on my social media, and the band that I had been subbing for actually posted some things with me. And Dave just happened to come across it on Instagram. So Dave actually went to our boss Lupe and said, hey, we're looking for a female singer. Like, this girl looks like she's pretty good. Like, can we get her in here? So Lupe actually sent me a message and asked me if I wanted to audition. And that was pretty much it. I went to audition, and I've been stuck to them at the hip ever since.
Nice. That's good. You know, you never know where your talent could take you, who's watching, you know?
Right.
So that's really good that you was posting, that you was networking, and how everything just fell into place, which is awesome. So being on stage, whether it's small or large, have you ever run into any type of performance anxiety on the stage?
I have, actually. When I was, I'd say that I was really, really nervous younger in life when I was going through school and singing in front of crowds. It sort of gets to the point, at least with me, where it's not that I don't get nervous singing anymore. Mostly it's the anticipation leading up to the performance. And mostly it has to do with, I've never been at this venue before, and I don't know what the stage is like, and will I have enough room to move around and dance without tripping over the dancers behind me and remembering lyrics to a song that I just learned 2 days ago. And so that for me really is what the anxiety is about. It's not actually about the performing itself. But I mean, for me, as soon as I open my mouth and start singing, the anxiety and the fear is gone.
Nice. So that's really good. 'Cause being on stage is probably the most nerve-wracking thing for a lot of people, just large crowds or just trying to present yourself, can be, nerve-wracking, but how do you memorize the lyrics? You know, I always that fascinates me. How do music artists memorize the lyrics, whether they write their own music or sing someone else's? Like, how do you memorize the lyrics?
Well, at least for me, it's always been relatively easy just because I've always been into music. It's just a thing that kind of comes second nature to me. But it's easiest, obviously, when you really enjoy a song. Because when you really enjoy a song and you really want to sing it, you're like, I've got this. You know what I mean? It's sometimes a little bit of a struggle for some songs that you don't really identify with or you're not really feeling. But, I mean, you just got to buckle up and force yourself to listen to these songs over and over again until you get it right, you know?
That's true. So you've been to a lot of venues. So what is your favorite venue to perform at? Throughout your singing career?
I would say it's probably the larger gigs that we do. I really, really love the Sugar Bowl. I think that for me, it's not that I don't enjoy the smaller, more intimate gigs, because I do, and you really get the interaction from people in the audience, which is really great. But right. I do really enjoy the larger crowds, because there's just something about singing to like 30 to 40,000 people and like having them all dance and sing along with you, that's like intoxicating.
That's true. Being at a larger concert, you know, everyone's there. You can feed off the the fans' energy on stage. So how do you get people like energized, especially if you're about to perform? Like, what do you do?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I think that I rely on Dave, the other lead singer of the band, a lot for that. Initially, when we come out on stage, he's the one that kind of is just like, hey, everybody! So then he kind of gets everybody pumped up. So once he does that, if I have a song where I'm singing the entire length of the song, like pretty much on my own, it's a solo song, I can do that a little bit more because I'm sort of in the forefront. So like if I kind of see people and I'm singing to them, like, and they're kind of in it, but they're not fully committed to it, then I'm making eye contact. Then I'm looking at you and I'm essentially letting you know, like, you're going to start to get down to the song right now. You're going to dance.
There you go. You know, once Jordan locks eyes, get ready. One look, get ready.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give anyone, especially who's watching right now? What advice would you give anyone who wants to follow maybe in your footsteps of being a singer? What advice would you give somebody?
Well, I can only really give from my experience and my perspective, but I will say that I would give advice and say that if you want to do something along these lines as far as entertainment, even if it's singing, whether it's acting, whatever it is, I think that you shouldn't be afraid to move out of your comfort zone, whether that is emotionally or physically. I think that sometimes you have to push yourself, and even if that's to physically move somewhere else in order to pursue what you want, I think that that's always a good risk to take. I mean, the worst that somebody can tell you is no. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of fear behind that. And there's a lot of anxiety behind rejection, which everybody has. But if you push yourself a little bit further past the point of that fear, and all you have to be scared of is somebody saying, well, we're not really looking for that, we're going to go in another direction.
Right.
That's fine. You can pursue it again. And you just continue and continue. And eventually you're going to get a yes. So I know with me personally, I do struggle with anxiety a little bit. And I think that it can be incapacitating sometimes and prevent you from doing some things that you really want to do or things that you should do. So I think that just push yourself and don't be afraid to really, I mean, move yourself mentally and physically.
I agree. You know, you got to kind of push the roadblocks, the noise, all the negative stuff out of the way to get to where you want to be. I really strongly believe in that as well. And it is hard. It's easy to say, and it is hard. But once you start to say, you know what, I'm talented, I got this, I'm going to make it no matter what. And no one's going to tell me no. And I really feel like that's where your breakthrough is, because now you're telling the world, you're not stopping me. You're going to, I'm going to break through. I'm going to shine, and everyone's going to know who I am. So
exactly.
So I agree with that so much. So who would you like to collaborate with? If there's a band or another singer, who would you like to collaborate with?
I mean, if we're on the celebrity route here, which I think we are, I mean, obviously Beyonce. I mean, I mean, come on. But actually, I've really, really, over the past couple of years, been loving everything that Demi Lovato has been doing. So I really, really, if I ever had the chance, I would jump on that. She's right. Very, very talented. And I think that early on in her career, because it was like the Disney thing and like people just, they throw everybody into the singing ring and just assume that everybody can do it. But that girl has a set of pipes on her that were very, very surprising. She sang, I want to say the national anthem, or I think at an NFL game when she was really young. And I saw that on television. And the minute I saw that, I was like, oh my God, she's going to be huge. Huge, because she's so talented. So I'd really like to work with her.
Nice. Yes, I believe I watched that too. And she has an amazing voice.
She does. She has
an amazing voice.
She does.
I agree. So, and anyone who's watching, if you have any questions you want to throw in the chat, you can do that too. But speaking of artists, who would you like to open up for?
You know what? It sounds, I'm really, really loving Cardi B right now.
Okay. I gotta hear about this.
I really am. I just feel like as an individual, she's never compromised to who she is to get where she is. And I think that she's hilarious. And I think that I would have an amazing time if I could ever go on tour and open up for her. I would have an amazing time because I'm weird just like she is. And we'd be goofy and we'd be able to perform together. So I think that would be a great time.
I hope that comes to be. I hope if she's watching this, if people can pass this on, Cardi B, Demi Lovato, Beyonce, you name it. Come on. That'll be great. That'll be really amazing. So the Sugar Bowl, you performed there. What is your favorite venue to perform at, your least favorite, and do you have any like upcoming shows? I know it's a little bit hard now, but do you have any upcoming shows, or maybe is there like one venue that you would want to perform at? I know a lot of times people might say Madison Square Garden is like the venue, but what would you want to do?
I don't really, I can't really say with like a specific name in which I would want a venue. But like I said, I do really, really love those larger gigs. So any place that can pack a ton of people in, I'd be down for. I'd say that my least favorite venues, I mean, our band's been booked in some kind of middle of nowhere places. I remember we had this gig. It was just like a very small place. And it was, I want to say 2.5 hours away, just really, really close to the Gulf. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those places where you walk in there and you're like, maybe we shouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. Maybe this isn't a good idea, but you know, that doesn't happen very often, but I'd say those are my least favorite venues. Yeah, the larger gigs, my favorite. The I do like the smaller gigs, just not the ones that are kind of like in the middle of nowhere where I think I don't belong.
Right. I agree. That can be kind of like, oh, I got to watch out. I got to be careful.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there can be some crazy things going on in those smaller places where, I mean, nobody goes in there besides like locals and people that really, really know the area. So when you're a stranger walking into those places, you're kind of like, you got to be on guard.
Yep, that's true. That is so true. So where's actually the furthest you traveled music wise?
I want to say from here, we've been to probably the furthest place is Florida. We went to a place in, I want to say Destin, that was really, really nice for a wedding. I'd say that was probably about 4.5 hours away. Mm-hmm. We've done some gigs in Shreveport, Louisiana, which is about 5 hours away.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Now, how was that with the wedding? How was that to perform at a wedding? Was that like your first time doing
Not at a wedding, not our first wedding, but it was my first wedding as far as being out of state, because most of the weddings that we do are in the New Orleans or Louisiana area. Right. But that was the first wedding that I went to that was out of state. And I love what I do, but it was so hot that day. I mean, you drive like the 4.5 hours there and then, you know, you get ready. And once you're on stage, I mean, you know, I'm all done up with the hair and the makeup and I feel like I'm melting. It was a crazy time. I mean, you're fanning yourself on stage, but it is what it is.
Right. True. But, you know, you made it work.
Yeah.
I know the bride and groom was probably happy and excited. Absolutely. And yes. So that's, you made their day. So that's an amazing thing. So, you know, when we listen to music, if we went way back, we had cassette tapes and mm-hmm. then it was the CD and now it's streaming. So how do you think that has impacted the music business? And do you think it's for the better now with all this technology that we have? There's YouTube, there's Spotify, mm-hmm. Apple Music, you name it. Has that made the industry better for upcoming artists to say, we can now kind of make it on our own without a mm-hmm. record label?
Mm-hmm. I think that there's pros and cons in it. I think that, let's say for the already established artist, I think that people, the really, really big names in the game, I think sometimes are negatively affected by what the internet has done with music, because, you know, there's always piracy and all these things, you know, you can steal music and stuff like that. Right. But I do also think that it's like, especially social media and like YouTube and stuff like that, has been a really positive thing for people that aren't on that level, because you as an artist can access so many people by just posting a video or just posting a song. And like you said, you can actually get people to listen to your music and hear your music without actually having to go to a record label and hounding them to listen to your CD or your songs. So I think that, like I said, there's pros and cons to every situation, but I mean, at least for me and in my aspect and what I do, it's been really good for me, because I can post a video of me singing and people across the world can see it.
That's true. One click of a link or mm-hmm. Just maybe a Spotify or something, and yeah. Now they can listen to it.
Right.
Do you feel, though, that there is still a missing component where things are not as maybe tangible? If we think about maybe making a mixtape, we might have made a CD and we had to pick which ones mm-hmm. and give it to our friends. Like, do you mm-hmm. feel like that is like a lost art? Like, I know Prince used to make more vinyls and he wanted mm-hmm. his stuff on a vinyl, not on a CD, not really on streaming service. So mm-hmm. do you feel those things are kind of like missed?
I would say so. I think that there's something to be said about putting your songs on a tape or a CD and you know, the experience of kind of like going out and actually, you know, attempting physically to like walk into a record label and saying, this is me, this is what I have to offer, listen to me, please. And I think that, you know, a lot of people did it that way back then. And I think that that's something that probably people don't actually have to do anymore. Because I think that now people can just post all of their art on their social media or their YouTube. And I think that now, essentially, I'm under the impression that the way it works is you're putting all this out on social media. And I'm 98% sure that record labels have people that they're paying specifically to scroll through social media and scroll through, you know, YouTube and find potential artists. So in a way, record labels are now coming to artists as opposed to the opposite that it used to be.
I didn't really think about that. That is true. I believe that's how Justin Bieber was found.
That's true. He was found on YouTube.
Yep. So, yeah. So just keep posting those.
Forever posting.
Forever posting. I like that. So, so what is your favorite song of all time you like to perform? What is that one song?
I think that it's not just because I get to sing it, but I think it's because of the way that people respond to it. Mm-hmm. I'd have to say either I Want to Dance with Somebody. because people go crazy for it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the modulation at the end of the song. These people are in it to win it. They're singing it right there with me. And Don't Stop Believing, because that will literally make anyone, I don't care who you are, mm-hmm. if you're singing Don't Stop Believing from Journey and mm-hmm. you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you hear it, you are going to stop in your tracks and you yes. are going to find whoever's singing it and you are going to go and scream it to the top of your lungs.
That is true. That is true. Don't stop. But yeah, that's as far as my vocal range is going to be. But no, those are two good songs, especially Whitney Houston. It's very hard to, I feel, sing a Whitney Houston song. That's I always feel with Whitney, it's like, whoo, if you're going to sing it, you got to sing
it. You got to sing it. Yeah. I mean, I think that had a lot to do with the fact that the man that runs my band, my boss, Lupe, he really, really wanted somebody that could potentially sing these songs and was capable of singing these songs. So at a lot of gigs, he gets really excited because I'm capable and he'll be like, all right, let's do I Will Always Love You. And I'm like, but I do it. I sing that song. And to be honest with you, I mean, like there's fans that follow the band that specifically come to gigs and tell mm-hmm. me, Jordan, if you don't sing I Will Always Love You, I'm going to leave right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it gets that serious.
Wow.
So if you're going to sing Whitney, you got to do it right. And you got to have those people coming to you and saying, hey, like, we want to hear it. Let's go.
That is true. That is so true. Now, do you have any songs out there of you singing I Will Always Love You?
I do, I think, have a short clip of it on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. I should. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But don't be surprised or alarmed. I'm in a Storm costume.
Gosh.
X-Men. It was Halloween, and I forced my band to dress up like comic book characters.
There you go. That's interesting. That is interesting. Now, speaking of preparing and stuff, how do you prepare your voice when you go on stage? Like, what are the things that you do? Do you drink like hot tea before you go out there, water? Like, what is it that you prepare your voice to be the best?
For me personally, it's all about hydrating all day. When it comes to drinking water, I'm never drinking cold water because it can be harsh on your vocal cords. So I'm always drinking room temperature water. I don't really mix in a lot of like lemon, which a lot of people do, like lemon with honey tea, just because citrus and my what's going on with me is just a little bit more harsh for me vocally.
Right.
So it's really just all about the room temperature water. You got to keep everything warmed up. You don't want to freeze anything or make anything cold in there that you need to vibrate and move around. So that's really what it's about to me.
Okay, nice. That's good to know. That's actually interesting. I didn't think cold water could have such an effect.
It can. And you never want to drink milk. No dairy before you sing.
That is true. I I heard that. Yes, no milk. Because no, that just does something to the throat.
Everything gross in there you don't want to do.
So, is there that one famous musician from the past that you admire? I know you mentioned Beyonce.
She's always going to be number one.
She's always going to be number one, no matter what.
She will. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was really, really, like I said, when I was younger, I was inspired by Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston. But as far as me coming into my own age and really finding my own confidence, she had a lot to do with that. So for me, it's not just about, you know, her vocal capabilities. It's what she helped me do in my life.
Right.
And I think that in general, she's an inspiration because she's an amazing singer. She can dance her butt off on stage. So it's all around. She is just a really great entertainer, not just singer, but she entertains.
That's true. She does. She does entertain.
She does.
She has amazing vocal range and everything. And she can hit different genres of songs from country to gospel to pop to R&B. It's amazing. So with music and everything, how would you change the industry? What would you change about the industry, especially with artists?
I think that it's particularly, I think that I would really want to change the fact that it's difficult to get into the music industry, to be seen, which is why people are using the social media to try and get their own voice out there. I think that I would particularly change the fact that it's so hard for talented people out there that don't necessarily have resources or the know-how to get into the industry. I would try to do something to make it easier for just the average person that knows they have talent to be able to step into the industry.
That makes sense. That makes so much sense.
There's a lot of talented people out there that just, they don't know how to get started, or they don't know, they know they're talented and they just don't know what to do with it.
Right. They have all this talent, but they don't know where to start. How do mm-hmm. I promote? What platform should I use? Mm-hmm. And things like that. Now, do you feel at the end they should just, doesn't matter what gear they have, it doesn't matter, just promote it, just, mm-hmm. just to be seen? Is that the best way to go about it?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, it's kind of what you have to do, especially nowadays, especially with the way that social media has developed. I think that you kind of just have to be in everybody's face all the time, just constantly in people's faces, because when you do that, then people start to remember you. Mm-hmm. So if you do that and you post a video of you almost every other day, then it's like, oh, well, that's a girl singing again. And then you start, mm-hmm. people start to remember you, and then people start to talk about you. That's kind of how it is right now. Right. So, I mean, you just kind of have to keep punching at it.
Nice. Yeah, just keep punching at it, keep promoting, keep pushing, mm-hmm. keep going out there, and eventually something's going to stick.
Anything that you can do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, because I know a lot of times some people might be afraid to mm-hmm. to do something, whether it's fear or whether it's lack of, maybe they don't have maybe the best microphone mm-hmm. or a nice studio setup. Mm-hmm. So they should just still sing. They should just still perform, right?
Absolutely. I mean, like, listen, I mean, I didn't have any microphones or anything like that. I mean, once they developed a camera phone, I was like, all right, well, let's see how I sound. Let's see how I sound if I record myself. And to be honest with you, it took me a very, very long time to hear myself recorded and actually be comfortable with it. Right. And I think that's a tough thing for everybody, because when we sing and we think we sound great, blah, 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 whatever. But when you hear yourself recorded, it's a completely different thing that you hear. And I think that people get really self-conscious about that, because I've been that way too. But you get used to it, throw it out there. Just throw it out there so people listen to it. Just do it. I mean, because we have to stop being afraid that people won't like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always going to be that fear of rejection. But I mean, if you really want it, you just got to be like, well, if you don't like it, somebody else will.
Yep. Somebody's going to like it. Anybody's going to like it. You know what? And if no one likes it, grandma's going to like it. Mom and dad's going to like it. Right. Brother and sister going to like
it. I'll give concerts in my living room.
There you go. Now we're gonna do something new, and it's called Hidden Gems. So I'm gonna ask a range of questions, and it'll be just fun facts, things you might want to share. All right, so it is called Hidden Gems. All right, so the first question is, what is the funniest fan encounter you have ever received or happened to you?
One sort of sticks out. We were doing a gig a little bit further away at one of those spots where you're kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to be here. Mm-hmm. And there was this guy that, I mean, had too much to drink and kept coming up to me and telling me, you know who I am? I'm White Mike. And I was like, all night, I'm White Mike. He came up on the stage, started singing in the microphone, and kind of got to the point where I was like, all right, White Mike, we gotta get you off the stage here, bud. And I was calling to his wife, and I was like, excuse me, White Mike's wife, can you please help me? That one was very, very different. He was a little, not aggressive in a creepy way, but he was just a little aggressive in a fan way. So that one sticks out the most. White Mike. I'll never forget White Mike.
I won't forget White Mike either. Oh, that is something. So, celebrity crush.
Mm. There's probably a lot of those, but I think that I will always have an obsession with Charlie Hunnam, the guy from Sons of Anarchy. And as of lately, for some reason, I think it's because The Witcher on Netflix, but Henry Cavill has been like my everything these days.
So, favorite. Now, I don't know if you still watch this one, but favorite WWE superstar. So who is your favorite WWE superstar?
I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of stopped watching it a long time ago. But what I will say is that you probably know this because you created fan art for me.
Yes.
But back in the day, I was obsessed with John Cena, everything John Cena. I had a large cutout of him that I got, I think, from like a Radio Shack or something back in the day. And I kept that life-size cutout in my bedroom.
Oh, that is good. That is good.
Not embarrassing at all.
Not embarrassing at all. I mean, at least you can still see John Cena right there in the cutout.
That's, yeah, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Just watching me sleep.
Just watching you sleep. Right there. So, what is the best piece of advice you have gotten?
I think probably to not do things that you don't feel comfortable doing, especially being in an industry, the industry that I'm part of. I think that sometimes you come across people that try to push you to do things so that they can try and take advantage of what it is that you do and your talent. Right. And I think it's important to always say no when you want to say no.
I agree. You know, if saying no, you know, if you're like, you know, I'm not sure of this or this is not right, just say no.
Just say no. Yeah. And I mean, and it's tough because a lot of people get pressured and a lot of people, you know, It's hard when you're being pressured, especially by somebody that you think is like influential or has, you know, a lot of stock in the industry. It's hard to kind of keep your ground and make your own decisions when you're being influenced. But I think that there always has to be some sort of line in the sand.
Right. And just say no.
Just say no.
So what is the worst piece of advice you have got?
I wouldn't say that I've ever gotten a really, really bad piece of advice just because, I don't really ask a lot of people advice. I mean, there's very few that I ask advice from, and it's always people that are very wise, like my mother. She always gives me really good advice. Yeah. I mean, mom's never going to steer you wrong. But I try not to ask advice of people that don't really have, a very meaningful place in my life just because when people don't have a meaningful place in your life and they're giving you advice, it might not always come from a great place.
Right.
There could be ulterior motives. You don't really know. So I try to kind of keep that in my very small inner circle.
Right. So that's good. That's good. So what is the best compliment you've ever gotten?
I mean, obviously my favorites are going to be, you have an amazing voice. Cause I'm like, thank you. usually I get really, really excited when people tell me that like my hair or my makeup looks great because I work so hard on it, especially when I'm performing. Not right now, I look a mess. But when I'm performing, like I really, really go hard with the hair and the makeup. So whenever somebody compliments that, I'm like, thank you so much. Because it's really, really, it's tough work.
Oh man. So what is the biggest perk of being a singer?
For me, I guess that it would just be that people are a lot nicer to you. I mean, I don't get like celebrity perks where people are just handing me free stuff all the time. That doesn't happen. But I mean, in general, people are just nicer to you. I mean, you know, somebody that normally would have been sort of just kind of dismissive is now nice to you. So, I mean, you don't have to deal with a lot of people being rude anymore.
That's true. That's a good thing. Yeah. So who would you want to portray your life?
If I had like a big movie about my life, biography. Yep. I Zendaya.
Interesting. How so? Or how come?
I think that she's really versatile. She can do, I mean, she, especially with her new show Euphoria that came out, I don't know if you've ever seen that, but she has developed into a very, very fine actress, and she also sings, so it'd be perfect.
There you go. Hopefully Zendaya's watching and hey, start getting that script ready. So what is your guilty pleasure?
Ooh, what is my guilty pleasure? I guess wigs. I guess wigs. I mean, that's probably a guilty pleasure of mine. It makes my life a lot simpler. And I love being able to kind of just have different colored hair and different style hair all the time without having to burn all of mine off.
There you go.
Just slap a wig on that baby.
Just slap a wig and you're set. So what is one luxury you can't live without?
Luxury. I don't want to say it's my cell phone because I think that I could honestly live without my cell phone. You know what? This is what I'll say. I'll say if my business wasn't involved in my social media, then I wouldn't really need social media. I could do without it.
Okay.
Because other than my business, I mean, the only reason that I'm on Instagram is just to watch like cat videos.
Right.
So that's it. I think that social media takes up a lot of our lives. And like I said, it can be a blessing in a lot of ways as far as artists and music. But right. I think that if that part of it didn't exist, I could do without the social media.
I could see that. Same. Well, I can't say same with me. We'll see. I'm trying to wean myself off.
Yeah, it's a little hard. It is hard.
It really is hard.
Yeah.
It is. So, is there an upcoming movie that you're excited to see? Because I know now with the movie theaters, they're figuring out how do we do this.
Oh, they're going to figure it out.
They're going to figure it out one way or another. But is there that one movie that you're excited to see, clamoring to see?
I would say there's actually, I don't know if the trailers have been going around or if people really know about it yet, but there's a movie that I saw a short trailer for. I think it was, I don't know if the title of it was Larry, but there's a kid that is somehow being haunted by some sort of like entity or like creature. And horror movies are my thing. I'm all about horror movies. So anything that could potentially scare me, I'm about. So I'm really looking forward to that one just because from the trailer, it looks like it could actually scare me. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot to scare me just because I've been watching horror movies for so long. So if I think it can actually scare me, I get excited about it.
Right. So has there ever been a movie that did scare you? That you was like, yeah, this movie's not going to be scary. It's not going to get me to jump. And then
you know what?
In the theater.
Yes. I actually, The Conjuring.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that in the theater with my friend Janine. And maybe like 25 minutes into it, we were like so panicked in our seats. And she turned around. She's like, do you want to leave? And I was like, I can't leave. I'm already committed.
That is true. Once you're there, you're like,
I gotta watch.
If they see me leave, that's it.
I'm not gonna wuss out. We have to watch the rest of this movie.
That is true. That is so true. That happened to me watching the movie The Haunting when I was a kid. Literally leapt out of my seat from a sitting position all the way up. And mom was like, you wanna leave? I was like, no, I'm good. No.
That's a good one. I watched that a lot over the years.
Yeah, and it was the part where the skeleton pops out the fireplace. Like, I knew it was gonna happen. Like, I'm like, right. I know what's gonna happen. No. Old Wilson's gonna walk. There's the skeleton, and I'm just like, I must have zoned out mentally. Oh, yeah. And when that happened,
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay, that can really happen. You can literally leap out of your seat. So what is the longest period of time you've been awake?
I would have to say anywhere in between 24 and 36 hours. I was singing with Karma, and I actually had another job too, just because I was like, oh yeah, let's stack this money. But so I was cocktail waitressing at night, and I was singing. Sometimes I would be working 6 to 7 day weeks.
Oh wow.
So it's not like I got a lot of sleep in between those days. So I'd say anywhere between 24 and like 36 hours.
24 and 36?
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. I mean, that's not bad.
Not terrible. Not terrible.
Not terrible.
Not terrible.
You know, college students do it all the time.
Yeah.
So much. Not terrible.
Not terrible.
Now, if you start going 4, 5, maybe get some rest.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, superpower you wish you had?
Okay. I would say either telepathy or teleportation.
So why telepathy?
I have always been very interested in the way that people think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that reading minds would just make that easier on me. I wouldn't have to try and evaluate how you're thinking or why you're thinking it for as long if I just knew what you were thinking all the time.
That is true. That is true. You're like, I know what you're thinking, so
I know what you're thinking. Say it. There it is.
So why teleportation?
I think a lot of people like choose flying, mm-hmm. but like for me, I think that it would be so much cooler to just be like here in my condo, and then if I want to go to Greece in 5 minutes, I could just poof, I'm in Greece,
there
right?
You
I'm
go.
There automatically, and I don't have to like, you know, fly hours there. I could just be there automatically.
Like go 1, 2, done. I'm here.
1, 2, done. No money for airfare. You don't have to pay any of that.
That's true. You save can get from money. Point A to point B, save your money, saves mm-hmm. on gas, you know?
Yep.
And you'll be good to go. Now
it's very efficient, I think.
It is. It is very efficient and cost effective.
Yes.
Yep. So if you were stranded on a desert island, what would you bring? What three things would you bring?
Three things?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would say something. What do you call those things that create fire?
Matches?
No, not matches. One of the, you hit it. Like a stick.
Oh, those sticks.
Yeah,
those sticks.
Because matches, well, you'll run out of, but that thing will last you a long time, and you just keep making fires out of that. Definitely want one of those. What else would I bring? What other two items? I want to be selfish and say my cats because I just can't live without them. But if I'm stranded on an island, we're all just going to starve anyway. So. I don't know, a satellite phone to attempt to get rescue.
Okay.
That'd be a good idea.
That is a good idea. So sticks, satellite phone, and your cats. All right.
If I could make sure that my cats were well fed, then yes, I would bring them.
Right. I mean, there's probably going to be fish near the water, so you should be all right. So, something you long believed to be true, but found out wasn't.
I think that a lot of times people put restrictions on people and tell them that they can't do something that they want to do,
mm-hmm.
and that's just not true. It's not true. If you really are dedicated, you can do anything that you want to do. So I think that that mindset has got to go.
Right. I agree. I agree. You shouldn't hold anyone back.
No. Just let them fly free.
Mm-hmm. Let them flourish. Let them experiment. Let them be who they are. You know, don't mm-hmm. say you can't do something. Because I feel at the end, they're afraid that they couldn't do maybe something. So they're projecting that
can't-do
mentality.
Yeah, and I think that probably contributes to a lot of the anxiety that we were talking about earlier, because mm-hmm. when you have somebody telling you something for so many years, like you can't do this and you can't do that, even if you have the thought in your head that that's potentially something that you might want to do, it hinders you because you've been told your entire life that you can't do it.
That's true.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's got to go. That's not true. Not true.
That is not true. Not true at all. Now, I want you to definitely think about this last one, this last question right here.
Okay.
Deep thought. Here we go. So, Jordan Taylor in 10 years.
Jordan Taylor in 10 years. To be honest with you, I am hoping that sometime in the next few years, I can potentially go back to school. I want to finish for psychology because, again, I love thinking about the way that people think. So I think that I want to finish for psychology and get a degree in that. But I also, hopefully, in the next 10 years, will find my soulmate and maybe have some babies.
There you go. Would you still want to be singing in 10 years?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'll sing for as long as I possibly can. I just think that there's nothing wrong with having something else that you're interested in. So, right. I mean, people are multifaceted. People have talents of different aspects. So psychology has always been something that I was interested in. And when I was in college, I was just a little too young and dumb to really appreciate, you know, being at college and stuff like that. So I just really want to finish that. And I think that maybe eventually I'd like to do something with it. Besides the singing, I'd like to do something with that as well.
Nice. I wonder if there's a way to incorporate
the music
with psychology. I feel like those two can go hand in hand.
Yeah, they can. There are things like music therapy, tonal music therapy, which is really interesting that I've actually been reading a little bit about lately. It's actually just dual tones that are, there's different tones playing in different side of your ears through earphones that can help you mentally. When your brain listens to these certain tones, it can help fix certain like chemistry things in your brain, which I think is really interesting. So like if you're interested, Google that because it's really, really cool.
So tonal therapy.
Uh-huh.
All right, I'm going to do that. I'm going to Google that. I'm going to see. That's actually interesting.
It is. It is really interesting. There's there's different aspects that you can target with different tones. Mm-hmm. Different tones for anxiety and different tones for depression. So it's really, really cool.
Hmm. All right, I'm going to take a look at
that. Yeah, take a little peek.
Yes, and see what that's all about. So that's really awesome. So thank you so much, Jordan, for coming out today. And
thank you for having me on. This was really fun. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. So how can people find you and your band?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at JDubDizzy. You can find the band on Instagram at New Orleans Karma. And the website for the band is neworleanskarma.com.
Very easy to memorize. So that's good. That is good. Awesome. So thank you very much, Jordan. This has been awesome. I hope all of our listeners out there watching have a great day.
Yes.
And I can't wait to do another one of these. Thank you so much, Jordan. Great.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. So this is Errol E. signing out.
Thanks for listening to Every Moment with Errol E. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now.